You are listening to Creative Community Radio WGXC. I'm your host for the Tuesday afternoon show. My name is Robert Tomlinson. And I'm really, really happy to have the next three guests in our studio. We have Maureen Sullivan Kinch, the owner and proprietor of Mahalo. I'm pronouncing things correctly.
You are.
Yes. And Beth Horton, who's here from the Community Center. Beth has been on briefly before. We're glad to have you back. And a new person for us, Kevin Christofa.
Christofora.
Christofora. I should put my glasses on. Author of The Hometown All-Stars.
Correct.
Right. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, all three of you, for being here. Let me turn the music off. Hold on just a sec. Okay. Well, let's start with The Hometown All-Stars. What is it?
The Hometown All-Stars are a series of bedtime reading books, anytime reading books, for kids ages 3 to 7. It's about kids getting off the computer, a little more green, less screen, getting them outside playing again, learning the games that have skipped a generation.
Mm-hmm. How many are in the series?
There are three complete. The fourth one's coming out this fall.
And do they each have a theme? I assume they do.
Yeah, it's traveling through the eyes of Nick, the main character, where it's his story and how it evolves and unfolds through his eyes.
Does Nick have a relationship to your personal experience as a child?
No.
Ah, so how did you find Nick?
He's one of the kids I've coached.
Ah, so you're a coach.
I'm a coach.
And what are you coaching?
T-ball, baseball. I've moved up the rung of the ladder as the kids get older.
Oh, so you stayed with them.
Yeah.
So do you know Nick now? Is he
sure.
in your life?
Yep.
And he knows it's about him?
Yeah.
He does know.
Yeah.
Did he ask for royalties?
No, he wants nothing to do with it.
I think Peter Pan might have felt the same way.
Yes.
It's hard to say. Well, it's great to have you here.
And thank you.
You know Maureen because...
She was seeking local authors for local books in her gift shop.
And that's how you met.
Yep.
Yes.
And you two are now dating. Is that correct? Is the rumor correct?
That is correct.
Oh, close to the mic now. We have to. Yeah.
that is correct.
Okay. So how long have you had Mahalo?
I bought Mahalo about 2 years ago now.
About 2 years ago.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. We started the process about 2 years ago. So I walked in one day and the previous owner had some things going on in her life. And I had different things going in mind. By the time I left that day, I said, okay. And
No, wait.
Uh-huh.
So in one day, you walk into his door.
No, more like an hour and a half.
An hour and a half.
Right.
You had the discussion with the proprietor.
I did.
And you discovered some things are changing in her life, maybe not so good, and she might want to sell her store.
Right.
And you then just go, oh, I've always wanted to have a store.
Yeah, I never wanted a store, I didn't think. It was a good change at the time. It was easier to juggle things with the kids in life. And
were you living here in Catskill?
No, I live in Athens.
In Athens?
I grew up in Catskill. I've been
You
local.
Are a true local native?
I am.
My goodness.
I'm one of them.
You're one of them.
I am one of them. I am. But yeah, so
How
I
wonderful.
Spent the summer with the previous owner learning a few things and took over that September. So 2 years now.
Retail.
Retail.
Are you out of your mind?
Uh-huh. We already knew that.
So I had a retail store for like 12 years.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, frequently, what have I gotten myself into?
Yes, some days I do. Uh-huh, especially when you're like, come in and see me, and you're mm-hmm. sitting there, and you're just cleaning. And
no one's there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
It is discouraging that way. But it worked really well for me in raising my son, because I had a lot of choices on how to mix my schedule up.
Does that work for you?
If
the kids are sick, they come with me. My daughter was there for a little while today. It does make life easier to juggle things,
mm-hmm.
even though a lot of people don't understand that, but it really does. Mm-hmm.
So what do you love about having a store?
In general, I like the socializing. I like the different people that come in and to hear their stories. I like meeting new individuals and kind of hearing about their lives
mm-hmm.
and being able to raise my kids.
Mm-hmm. What's challenging about it? What are some of the hardships?
Making money.
Oh, that.
Oh, money, yeah.
Oh, the economics.
Yeah, staying afloat and dealing with, you know, a lot of change that's gone on in this community and mm-hmm. trying to keep people really excited and coming down to Main Street mm-hmm. still.
Are you excited about Catskill right now?
I am. I would have never done this 5 years ago.
Tell me why.
I've seen Catskill go up and down for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people get excited, and the excitement wears off. I do believe now that we have a lot of people transitioning in that are really excited to be in this area and to be a part of it and want to incorporate the locals in as well and not just kind of take over. I think that there's been a divide for quite a while, but I do think that everyone's kind of blending and seeing that everybody really has the best interest in, you know, making this mm-hmm. our home.
Mm-hmm. So let me segue into then community radio.
Yes.
Why is community radio important to you?
I think to keep us all involved on the same page as to what's happening and keep everybody excited about, you know, new developments, and to just be able to have that outlet of what's happening, what's going on, who's that, and exciting, and hey, that's Robert's voice again, and everybody knows Robert's voice.
Yeah,
and
time to change stations. Yeah. There's old Robert again, reading the community calendar for 10 minutes. Right. What is he thinking? Speaking of which, we do have a community calendar, though, and that's one of the unique things about having community radio.
This
you can
true.
Post your event for free on the community calendar,
we
and
can.
Usually it's read. We're not doing it today because of the fundraising jar, but
right.
Normally I do read from the community calendar.
And that's why I have Heather work for me, because she's 21 and loves doing stuff like that, and I'm not good at it.
Uh-huh.
I'm not good at keeping up on that social
right.
scene of it. But okay. Yes, we do have to post on there more.
Good.
I'll get better.
Beth, let's get you closer to the mic. We're sharing mics today, so pardon the awkwardness of that. How are you?
I'm very good.
It's
How are you?
Great to have you here.
You have such a soothing voice.
Doesn't
Do I have a soothing voice?
Yes.
You could own a spa.
You know, I heard, whenever I hear Richard Sandler on the show, I think he and Phil, the guy who do our news, they have the best radio voices ever. And when I hear mine, I'm like,
Nobody likes their own voice.
I think that's true. Nobody likes their own voice. Well, I'm glad that you're here. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
You are the executive director for the Catskill Community Center.
Yes.
And you have been in that position for
2 years now.
2 years. How has the community changed in the last 2 years from your perspective?
Well, I've actually been at the community center longer than 2 years, more like four. The community's really, like Maureen said, it's gone up and down in the time that I've been at the community center.
So what does that mean to you, up and down? We're not just talking about economics.
The people coming and going, the attitudes of the people, and their perspective on life, I think, and what they're looking for and value out of their community. And last summer, we were able to hire or bring in some AmeriCorps workers who helped us with our summer enrichment program. And
which was geared towards
children
of what age?
Kindergarten to sixth grade.
Okay.
And in the afternoons, what they did is they went out into the community and we held focus groups with various entities. And it was very eye-opening experience for us.
What did you learn?
Well, we learned that most people do feel that they are alone.
Alone as in isolated? Alone?
Isolated, yep. Transportation is a huge issue still that remains in the county. That people want.
Is that an issue that you think the county can and should address to create a better public transportation system?
They have. They do have Green County Transit. We're still trying to figure out the schedule
right.
and bus stops, but they certainly want to work with us and have worked with us and try to accommodate for us, especially with the summer enrichment program, the way that it's set up this year. Is they are, we refer people to them to help them figure out for their kids how they can get the bus and get to where they're trying to get to, so parents don't have to worry about the transportation issues. It's just not as frequently as you would find in a more metropolitan area.
Of course.
Which is.
So I took you off on a tangent. So the one of the things you learned was that people felt alone.
They felt alone. Transportation was an issue. And they didn't feel that sense of community anymore. They didn't feel like they were part of anything. In the past history, there was street festivals were big in Catskill, and people were missing that. And this year, the village is actually bringing back a street festival in September. I can't remember. September 16th, I think, is the date. But that was something that came directly out of it, because they felt like they were part of something when those things were going on. And I think, you know, the changes in the schools, not necessarily what's happening in the district, but with education in New York State as a whole, there's been a lot more stress, I think, on families. Because of the standards.
So the focus on test taking.
Yes.
Meeting a certain standard of academics that's kind of across the board rather than individualized.
Yeah, and they got away from the fun of life and became, I think, too serious. And how do you provide education and still make it fun for the kids?
I can remember when my son was in high school, and you as a parent, you compare your life with, you know, your son or daughter's life. My son would do 4 to 6 hours every day of homework. I did like half an hour. Now, my son is well educated. I'm probably not. But I had fun. We played. We had like 37 kids on our block. It was like we had after school life that was, we hung out after school. That's what we did. Things have really changed.
They have.
Yeah.
And now the community center provides the void for those kids to actually come and hang after school.
Mm-hmm.
And we get anywhere from 60 to 80 kids a day at the community center. Mm. And they hang, and they have great relationships, and they're building relationships with the staff, and we're expanding programs as we can to accommodate their needs. And the nice thing is that it's driven by the youth. It's, you know, not, again, from the top down. We're allowing the kids to have the freedom to kind of dictate the program as long as it remains within reason.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's working.
Enjoying that. It's working, yes.
Yeah. Kevin, you live in Woodstock?
Correct.
Is that, you have had or you do have a family business? I think you're in the meat business, yes?
Correct. It's sold.
Oh, you sold
it? No longer in the family business.
Okay. Did you grow up as a kid, though, in the family business?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm a native.
How
was that?
It was great. You know, talking about community... I am that small hometown kid. I was the kid that could hitchhike and I get picked up instantly because I knew everybody from the store. But the day I skipped school and went to New Jersey, I would see somebody in New Jersey that would drive up to Woodstock and be like, "Hey, I saw your son in New Jersey."
Whoops.
I didn't get away with anything because everybody knew me. So it was a double-edged sword.
Yeah, yeah. It takes a village, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And do you have children of your own?
I do.
And how old are they?
16, 14, and 11.
And you've raised them in Woodstock?
Yes.
Yeah. How do you feel about the public schools in Woodstock?
The Woodstock school system, really the Ontiora system, is excellent. I'm a believer that you can't expect everybody else to raise your children. You do have to parent a little.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not reading with them at home and not participating and you expect the teacher to do everything for you, then you probably don't like school systems. I found through 16 years, all of our teachers were great, but we supported those teachers and we tried to give them, you know, the back end work that they deserved.
Let me steal that line for a second and ask you to support us. This is WGXC. You're listening to the Tuesday Afternoon Program. My name is Robert Tomlinson. To make a donation for our summer pledge drive, Radios in Motion, please call 518-697-7400 or go online wgxc.org/donate. We would appreciate your support during the Tuesday afternoon program. Okay, Kevin, so part of a successful school experience is the investment that you personally made along with your children to make it as good as it can be. Yes?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I remember when my son, although this was fun for me and was only workable because I had a retail store, I went in twice a week and was the art and architecture teacher. And it was incredible. I got to know all of my son's friends. I saw a whole new side of my son, you know, in the context of his peer group. And I actually at that time, there was a very high involvement of other parents in the school, and I think it really makes a difference.
Yep.
It does.
Yeah.
I was able to go on 2 field trips last week because I have the store, and I was able to go to the Met with my twins on Monday, and then out on the river with my youngest on Friday.
Wait. You were in the Met?
Yeah.
On Monday with your kids, and
I
then
was.
On the river on Friday?
I was.
This is a good life.
It was. It's exhausting.
What did you see at the Met? What was on?
No, we went to the Metropolitan Museum of Art with 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. What show did you see?
We saw everything that they ran around to. The thing that was great about it is how much they knew.
The kids really.
My kids go to Coxsackie Athens, but they really learned a lot this year. That was amazing for them to go through. I still think that it was a little much for 12-year-olds, but we had a good time.
How great!
Yeah.
How great!
Yeah.
So let's talk about those. You have an unusual window display right now.
I do.
Let's hear about the
gumballs.
You have gumballs in the window, and a lot of them.
Yes, I don't know how many because I'm a terrible liar.
I see.
Yes.
So okay, but there's a little game going on here. Can you tell us about it?
I'm going to let Kevin explain. Oh, Kevin's exactly going to play.
Okay.
What the game is about.
All right, Kevin, you're on. The gumballs in the window. Yeah, it's a guessing game.
What's better than gumballs than a whole lot of gumballs? So
I got a few things.
I made a 6-foot tube of gumballs filled with
a lot of gumballs.
A lot.
Tremendous amount of gumballs.
Okay. Uh-huh.
There are multiple colors, and there are white ones mixed in. So if you do the math of 6 feet by 12-inch diameter tube... You can't do the math with a 3/4-inch gumball because we have randomed the count by mixing in white gumballs. And we're only guessing the amount of white gumballs in the display.
Oh, it's the white only. So you've white kind only. Of thrown a little twist into
yeah,
this.
Yeah, all the mathematic okay. teachers so, and students.
So bear with me. The people that are listening today, I have brought up chocolate on many occasions, which is completely unnecessary. But are there any chocolate gumballs?
No.
Well, you see. I'm going to guess how many chocolate gumballs there are. Do I get to win?
If the answer is zero.
See, how easy is that? That was quick.
If you rub all the gumballs.
Win a bowl of cherries.
Right. Okay. So can you give us an idea of proportion? Is it like 3-1, white to colored? Is it like...
What use would that be?
Well, it just helps, you know, fester the curiosity.
You'd have to know how many pink and blue ones, too.
True, I guess. Whose idea was this?
Kevin's
idea. Of course it was. Okay, Kevin. So you're taking guesses. People can come in and guess how many gumballs?
Yeah, at Mahalo Gift Shop.
At Mahalo Gift Shop. Yep. And how long will the guessing portion of this game go on?
Until Labor Day.
Until Labor Day, so it's September.
Labor Day at noon.
At noon.
If we don't call you, like Ed McMahon, showing up with prize patrol.
With that 8-foot check.
If we don't call you by noon, you did not win.
Story of my life.
So okay, hopefully everybody
so
put
what will the winner
number.
Get? Why would someone do this?
We're offering a cruise for two to Bermuda for a week.
Wow.
We're offering a second prize as a Cal Ripken Jr. autographed baseball valued at about $500 or $600. And the third prize is $250 in cash just to keep the old timers interested in, what do I need that ball for?
Yeah, right. Good. What do I need that cruise for? What do I need community radio for? Beth, why is community radio important?
It's community.
Connection. Okay. It's connections. The CC words.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Kevin, why is community radio important to you?
You know, let me tell you, I'm a small town kid, and growing up in a family business, we were part of the hub of the town in the town that I grew up in. And whether there was 3 feet of snow or sandy or a storm coming through where people needed help, we were open and we were there for anything anybody needed, and other people just disappear and go take care of themselves. Community radio is about supporting your local radio and them supporting you, because when you need information and there's emergencies going on, where do you go? Nobody knows what to do.
Yeah,
there's
absolutely.
Wide panic.
You know, that hasn't come up today, and it's really true. Community radio is the voice of, you know, that connection of what happens in an emergency situation. If you would like to contribute to sustaining us and keeping us on the air, please call 518-697-7400 or go to wgxc.org/donate to make an online donation. Or you can go see Christy at Magpie, and on the counter there's a little box with our initials on it, WGXC. Or visit Lynn and Alana at 704 Columbia Street in Hudson. That's one of our three studio places, and you can come to any one of them if you like to make that donation. Okay, so getting back to life in Woodstock, how would you compare, in your observation, the differences between life in the village of Catskill and life in Woodstock?
Maureen said very nicely before about how there's this incredible buzz on the streets.
In Catskill.
Okay. And how there's all this new energy and new people and new stores and people coming back to Main Street on the town and being part of it and being involved with the community center doing so many things, not just for kids. It's really important to know that it's for adults too. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's not a youth center, it's a community center. It's for all ages. And that's really key. Catskill has a community feeling. And not to be derogatory, but Woodstock's very transient. There's a lot of second homeowners. They visit, they come and go. But during the weeks, there's a lot of voids. Summer doesn't count, but year-round. That's why the school systems are going down. That's why enrollment's down, because all the kids go to school somewhere else, and they visit here. If you look up and down Main Street Woodstock now, there's probably 22 restaurants, I think the local papers were just advertising, and another new one coming in.
It is a tourist destination.
It's becoming
of the history.
That.
Yeah, sure.
It's trinket shops. It's a place to walk around, and then they go home. It's a nice day trip with a good place to eat, and then they go home. Here in Catskill.
Well, there's also just to I hear what you're saying. There's a wonderful art center. There's the Golden Notebook, which is a fantastic bookstore.
Of course.
I mean, of course, there's these rich you know, entities that have been around a long time.
There's long-time established businesses that provide a core to that community, absolutely. But here I see more family-oriented community involvement and a lot more activities.
So, Beth and Maureen, would you agree that the people that seem to be migrating here the last couple of years seem to have kind of a commitment to really invest in the community and make it something special? I'm feeling that from the point of view of artists and writers. And even Ben, who's on, Ben and Blake on earlier, you know, they're investing in a new business, they're living upstairs, they're really creating a long-term strategy. Jesse's coming in, bought a building, is going to have a shoe store, teach people how to make shoes. Laura and Liam have done Hilo. Chrissy's going to open up her store next to 394 coming up in the next week. People are really making an investment in our town that doesn't feel temporary to me.
No, it's
would you
more
agree?
Of a dedication, I think, than was in the past. I think before people were kind of renting a space, still going back and forth to the city, maybe opening 2 days. These people are actually living here, wanting to develop a community of their own, friendships, relationships, and I think that it's a definite change from what's happened before.
And I think they want to collaborate with everybody in the community. That's what I see, is that people are coming in with special talents, and they want to share those talents with everybody that lives here. Where in the past it was the transient, they knew better than the people that lived here in Catskill, and they are providing a sense of belonging themselves and starting that community feel.
Interesting you mention that, because we're in the gallery at GCCA, and the next show, opening at the end of July for 6 or 8 weeks, is called Collab Lab. And it's a show of collaborations. And surprisingly, there's a lot of families that are participating in this show, the collaborations within the family, as well as artists and writers. I think it's going to be a very interesting show that will reveal exactly what you just said.
Right.
So, Maureen, you have 3 kids?
I do.
And how old are they?
I have twins that are 12, Zachary, Maggie, and then Emma's 10.
Twins.
Yeah, good time.
My dad was a twin.
Yeah?
Yeah. And he and his brother were like opposites. It was really interesting. I've met twins that are, you know, they finish each other's sentences.
Yeah, no, we don't do any my of that parents, weird language or anything. They're their own people.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, no, 3 kids in 2 years, hence why I have a store.
So on a more personal level, does the future scare you for your children?
Yes and no. I'm not a fan of all the technology that they have access to. I'm not a fan of how easy it is to have feelings hurt or things confused. You know, Instagram, somebody posts a photo, somebody's at a birthday party, somebody, you know, wasn't invited. It's a lot different than when we were kids. They have access to things and know things that I didn't. The worst thing that happened when I was a kid in school was the Challenger. My kids know things that I wish at their age they didn't know yet. When something happens at the school and there's a fire drill, they're automatically afraid that something else is happening. They know a lot that we didn't know at their age, and I wish that I could have sheltered them more from that. But it is scary. It's a scary world that we live in. I think keeping that open door of communication with them and a great support system, they'll be okay. Yeah.
Do they talk about the future with you?
To an extent.
What's their view? What do they think their future is like?
Oh, you know, mansions on a lake with lots of pets and animals. You know?
Okay, we have 20 seconds left. I want to thank. I thought we had a minute and 20 seconds. My fault.
And I think that just to be clear on what we're doing is, you know, all of the proceeds are going to the community center.
Okay, that's.